You're listening to Narratively Out Loud, the diverse human storytelling of Narratively.com, brought to you in audio.
The Danger Zone Pet Rescuer. When raging wildfires separate people from their beloved four-legged friends, Katie Albright and her determined dog, Franklin, dive right into danger. From Narratively, by Melissa Hart, read by Jody Bentley for Curio. Katie Albright wrote out the words "Missing Pet Recovery" in green on the back window of her Toyota Sequoia SUV, then headed over the mountain pass from Bend, Oregon, with her three-year-old dachshund, Franklin, in a dog crate in the back seat. Ahead of them, the sky glowed the grayish-orange of dystopian movies. Smoke choked the air. Albright and Franklin were on a mission. The Labor Day fires had destroyed the tiny town of Blue River, along with parts of nearby Rainbow and Vida, and the duo was going to save the area's lost cats. When they arrived, 56-year-old Albright, with Franklin in tow, joined another volunteer and a couple of National Guard escorts and headed into the burn zone to help an overwhelmed county animal services department to find evacuees' missing cats. Albright and her dog are certified pet detectives, taught by search and rescue professionals to dive into disaster areas to search for missing animals. It's a taxing and emotional job. People who've lost a beloved fur baby often turn frantic, demanding or weepy by turns. The hours are long and arduous, spent mostly outside. Albright freezes on snowy evenings and bakes in summer heat. In burn zones, 100-foot trees topple unexpectedly, and spot fires blaze up for weeks. She's frequently dirty, hungry, exhausted from nights spent monitoring cameras at feeding stations. She's frustrated with well-meaning volunteers who set out dirty litter boxes, hoping to lure a missing cat home, a technique that only serves to entice aggressive toms, and with people who steal her wire cat traps worth $50 a pop. And she's devastated if the pet she's been searching for turns up dead. Still, the rewards thrill her. The possibility that she might rescue a small, traumatized animal and place it back in the arms of the people who love it the most gives her a reason to get out of bed in the morning. As a child in Seattle, Albright never envisioned a future spent slogging around in rain and mud behind a short-legged little dog, sifting through the charred remains of people's lives. She grew up with pets. Her mother had poodles, and her father owned a rotating cast of black Labrador retrievers. On several occasions, one of the retrievers, which are hunting dogs, escaped the backyard and collided with a vehicle on the busy street. "They'd get hit and my father would get his gun and put them out of their misery," Albright recalls. "I don't have a lot of feel-good memories about my childhood." Still, those early years bred a lifelong compassion for vulnerable creatures. Slowly, animals began to take over Albright's world, crowding out more problematic humans. She had a Springer Spaniel that she dressed up in her softball skirt and visor, and two tuxedo cats, Figaro 1 and Figaro 2. "I was a loner growing up," she says. "My friends were those cats and that dog." Albright's parents split up when she was 12, then bought her what she calls a divorce horse. She rode him on lunch breaks during middle school and high school. "When you grow up in a dysfunctional home, animals become part of your family," she says. She moved to Colorado for college and worked in ski patrol dispatch, then as a wilderness emergency medical technician, always with at least one dog or cat in the house to greet her when she came home weary and exhilarated with the knowledge that she'd been paid to spend the day outdoors, helping those who needed her the most. She left her technician position after adopting her daughter, a girl from Guatemala. She became a professional pet sitter, the perfect job for a single mom committed to the well-being of animals. When Albright moved to Colorado in the 1980s, there were only a few notable blazes each year. In 2020, 13 major fires broke out in Colorado, The Cameron Peak Fire in August became the largest in the state's history, burning more than 300 square miles. Increasingly, whenever Albright took on a new pet-sitting client, she'd ask, "What's your evacuation plan in case of a wildfire?" The answer was always the same. "It's you." They assumed, correctly, that she'd be the one to call to help her furry clients if disaster struck. So she purchased a radio scanner and listened to it constantly, monitoring where fires broke out and how close they were to her clients' homes and to her own cabin, surrounded by forest. When flames blazed too near, she raced across the mountain roads to help crate up dogs and cats from other people's homes. "I worried not only for my house and for the beagle my daughter and I had rescued after Hurricane Katrina, but for other people's homes and animals all the time," she says. "It was so stressful." In 2016, Albright found herself at an impasse of sorts. Well into middle age, with her daughter applying to colleges out of state and the police scanner on overtime, the future looked murky. Was she really going to live alone with her elderly, cantankerous beagle, walking other people's dogs for a living? Then a neighborhood corgi went missing, and her entire life changed. The owners put up giant neon posters and stood in a field yelling for their dog through a megaphone, guaranteed to send an already traumatized animal racing for the hills. Volunteers, including Albright, spread out to search for the corgi. One woman showed up with two large hounds and explained that they were trained to trail and find missing pets by smell. Dogs have more than 300 million olfactory receptors in their nasal cavities, compared to a paltry 10 million in humans. Their olfactory sense is 40 to 50 times sharper than ours. They're able to focus on a specific scent, gunpowder, say, or cocaine, or a missing cat, and alert their owner by sitting down or stiffening up and pointing their nose at the target object. The woman helping to search for the missing corgi owned tracking hounds, dogs that could run for miles as they followed a scent trail with their noses pressed to the ground. Albright found the adventures of human and canine fascinating and asked to shadow the woman. She said yes, and so there we were, 8,500 feet up in the mountains in the middle of spring, and there was snow everywhere, and we were going up and over fallen trees trying to find this lost dog, she recalls. The woman told Albright she had trained her hounds through online courses, and that's when Albright resolved to become a legitimate pet detective with a formerly trained search dog. "Sometimes there's a defining moment in your life," she says. "Mine came when I was 53. Initially, she considered purchasing a purebred beagle, a breed known for its superior sense of smell. "I thought about buying a puppy many times, but it didn't align with my values," she explains. She's a firm believer in the Adopt, Don't Shop campaign, which favors rescuing shelter animals over purchasing purebreds in pet stores. So she drove an hour to the Royce Hurst Humane Society in Grand Junction and found Franklin, a year-old dachshund with a golden brown muzzle, a black body in perpetual motion, and a tail like an exclamation point on steroids. Albright sensed he'd be a tenacious hunter, a search dog willing to weasel into culverts and other tight spaces to look for missing cats. Dachshund means badger dog in German, bred 400 to 600 years ago to hunt tunnel-digging badgers, making a nuisance in farmers' fields. Albright took Franklin home on a trial basis and conducted a series of temperament tests. She clattered pots and pans, then a pair of crutches, over his head to see whether he could remain calm around the sudden sounds and movements they'd encounter in a disaster situation. Franklin proved himself to be one chill dachshund. He simply rolled over and blinked at her. So she formalized the adoption. Initially, she planned to train him as a canine detective. But the reward for finding a missing dog is to get to play with that dog, she says. And Franklin's not great with other dogs. Instead, she decided they'd focus on missing cats. The online training course brings together people from all over the country to study lost animal behavior pet profiling, and pet recovery. Students film their dogs scenting and finding hot dogs and cheese, then jars of cat or dog fur, and finally, live animals. They share the footage with trainers and each other in online critique sessions. It takes a special kind of person to shell out hundreds of dollars for these courses, to respond to a neighbor's distress call in the middle of the night, and tromp around in puddles or snowdrifts for the joy of seeing a terrified animal reunited with its owner. These, Albright knew, were her people. Katie took a field course and became certified as a missing animal response technician in 2016. 3 years later, she and Franklin completed a 10-week cat detection course for dogs. The next month, wildfires broke out again in Colorado. Once more, she lived in terror of her cabin burning down, of losing her clients' pets to disaster. Between the drought and people's homeowners insurance getting canceled and the stress of caring for my house and other people's homes and pets, it was too much, she admits. She sold her cabin and moved to Bend to be closer to her elderly mother. Her daughter, home from college because of the pandemic, moved in with her. Sure, Albright had left a lucrative job and one of the two trees in their new yard was dead, but she was tenacious. She'd make the move work. In her new central Oregon town with its familiar landscape of snow-covered mountains and hiking trails winding around alpine lakes, Albright pondered her next step. COVID made visits to her mother and 90-year-old stepfather complicated. The economy tanked and jobs became almost non-existent. No one knew her in Bend. Launching a pet-sitting business without word-of-mouth advertising in the middle of a pandemic felt impossible. She found herself living off of the income from the sale of her Colorado property, and she wondered if she'd made a horrible mistake. Then a wildfire broke out in the small town of Blue River, just over the Cascade Mountains. Frenzied volunteers crowded a parking lot in the nearby city of Springfield. Some dealt with endless lines of altruistic drivers and vehicles, sagging with canned goods and bottled water, socks and sleeping bags and tents, and giant bottles of ibuprofen. Others organized tables piled with donations. Evacuees who'd lost everything huddled together on curbs or sat in their cars, struggling to fathom how a warm, windy evening plus a downed power line could result in hundreds of homes and businesses destroyed. In Bend, Albright read dozens of Facebook posts about pets gone missing in the chaos. Evacuees crowded into Red Cross-sponsored hotel rooms in Springfield and nearby Eugene, with their kids and the dogs and cats they had been able to scoop up before firefighters had ordered them to flee. She emailed the members of a hastily formed emergency animal response team and told them about Franklin. They invited her to come help them, and members of the county's animal control department find and trap target cats, felines with owners who'd filled out forms describing appearance and temperament and last known location. The work, they explained, could go on for months. Don't believe anyone who tells you that cats cannot survive a wildfire, Albright says. They can go weeks without food and water. Just because you don't see them doesn't mean they're not there. Trapping a target cat is a tricky business. Frightened felines may hide out for weeks, breaking cover only at night when curfews ban humans from burn zones. Injured cats crawl up inside incinerated cars and stay silent, fearful of predators. Accompanied by firefighter escorts, Albright and other volunteers set up feeding stations and cameras that were equipped to text images to their phones. Their dishes of food attracted possums and raccoons. Once a camera shot an image of a squirrel staring into the lens. Another time it photographed a black bear's paw. The camera also revealed target cats. Volunteers baited humane traps, then recovered the missing felines and returned them to their owners or handed them off to veterinarians who treated burned paws and administered fluids. A cat detection dog is a last resort, lest a kitty get spooked. So Franklin hung out in his crate while Albright worked. One evening, however, his help was essential. A couple reported a cat trapped without food or water in their abandoned two-story home on the river. With only a short amount of time before curfew, a volunteer searched every room of the house without success. Albright suggested that they let Franklin attempt to find the cat. She buckled him into his harness and bright orange vest, took hold of his 15-foot leash, and knelt down beside him to present the question trainers ask as a gesture of respect before they send a dog out on a search. "Do you want to work?" she asked him. Instantly, he ran in circles and let out a deafening series of yips to indicate his enthusiasm for the job. "He always wants to work. Searching for cats is his favorite thing in the world," Albright explains, her fondness for Franklin infusing her no-nonsense tone with warmth. That evening, she watched him lift his nose to catch the scent of the missing cat. He trotted through each room with his skinny tail wagging. In a bedroom, he sniffed the air again, and then went rigid with his tail stiffly curled. He discovered the cat, huddled far back in a corner under the bed. "He loves having a job to do," Albright says. "I'm fascinated watching him work." She and another volunteer got the cat into a crate and returned it to the relieved owners. Most volunteers were local. Albright was not. She'd planned on keeping costs low by sleeping in her pop-up trailer with Franklin. But the air throughout the region was so dense with smoke and ash that the air quality index hit 342 and then rose for days. The Environmental Protection Agency considers anything above 300 hazardous to breathe. She scrambled to find lodging, staying on a nephew's couch near Blue River. But another blaze, the Almeida Fire in southern Oregon, broke out right after Labor Day and burned more than 2,800 structures, including 1,000 mobile homes in 18 parks. Albright and Franklin headed down south to assist Shannon Jay, a National Park Service officer turned pet detective who'd rescued numerous cats after a wildfire destroyed the Northern California town of Paradise. Albright stayed in a cheap motel room, then camped at a nearby lake when the smoke had partially cleared. Friends set up a GoFundMe to offset the cost of her lodging, gas, cat traps, bait, and food. Donations trickled in, along with encouraging comments. "I support this campaign for all of the blood, sweat, and tears that go into rescuing these helpless animals," one donor wrote. Another said, "Albright, keep on fighting the good fight. Blessings to you for all you do for others." Albright experienced the same powerful sense of community and purpose she'd felt in Colorado when looking for the lost corgi years ago. After her first cat recovery mission with Jay, during which they retrieved three target cats, she wrote on Facebook, "We were in mobile home parks tonight that were completely decimated, yet there were cats out and about. There is always hope. Don't give up." She posted a picture of a little girl in pajamas with her mother, both of them smiling in front of a crate with a little striped tabby. In another photo, a burly tattooed man clasped a skinny white-bibbed kitty with a ghost of a smile on his exhausted face. People commented on Albright's posts with gratitude and an abundance of hearts and praying hands emoji. Fans praised Franklin as well, calling him, naturally, a good boy. "He's trained to find all cats," Albright explained, "whether alive or dead." In the weeks following the Oregon wildfires, he found three deceased cats. One of them was Whiskers, someone's beloved 16-year-old companion. "It's terrible and sad, and it's important work," she says. "He gives people closure." There is a lull during winter as rain and snow smother the flames. Volunteers are finally able to pause to take a breath and reflect on the fact that this wildfire year in Oregon has been one of the most destructive ever in the state. For Albright, the pause is unsettling. It's difficult to build community in a new city when you're masked in the midst of a pandemic. Money from the sale of her house is running out. She can't work in retail, lest she contract the virus and endanger her parents. So she's driving for DoorDash, while enrolled in a social media management certification program to help corporations and small businesses build online visibility. She has also been consulting the owners of missing pets remotely, tracking down unregistered or outdated microchips in animals across the country, and pulling up satellite images of a missing pet's neighborhood to determine where to search and where to put up flyers. There are dozens of reasons an animal might go missing. Someone leaves a door open and a house cat or an inquisitive new puppy slips out. Fireworks or backfiring cars spook a skittish kitten or dog and it takes off. Owners give up and stop looking, she says. But cats can survive all sorts of things. On LostCatFinder.com, pet detectives can charge between $150 and $1,200 for a three-hour search. But Albright balks at charging someone for work she'd do anyway out of concern for a missing animal. I have this knowledge, and I just want people's pets to get home, she says. That's why I'm broke. She's perhaps a bit lost as well, stuck in a dimly lit house during an Oregon winter where the sun sets at 4:30 in the afternoon, and sometimes it's difficult to stay optimistic about the future. Still, Albright gets up each morning, walks Franklin, and shares a laugh with her daughter as he negotiates with their new white cat, unsure if it is a target or a friend. Then she logs onto Facebook, answers messages from pet rescuer friends, and checks to see whether anyone's animal has gone missing and whether she can be of service. In November, a truck driver crashed and rolled over east of Bend, and a young dog escaped and ran off. Albright headed out to help with the search, putting up posters and setting up feeding stations and cameras. She posted tips on Facebook for other volunteers, along with messages of hope for people worried about the plight of a pet running scared in nighttime temperatures that plummeted to 20 degrees. It's pretty cold out here for a short-haired dog, but I feel like she could make it, Albright posted. And then the next night, nothing on the cameras. I will be up all night again. I am not giving up on this dog. That was The Pet Rescuer in the Disaster Zone by Melissa Hart for Narratively, published in February 2021. Read by Jody Bentley for Curio.
That's it for today's selection of Narratively. Make sure to check in next Thursday for more of our favorite stories. If you like what you're listening to and love discovering new ideas, Curio is for you. Explore stories that will help you navigate the world and keep on learning. Head to www.curio.io and apply the discount code NARRATIVELY30 upon checkout to get 30% off of your subscription today.